Your guide to Merseyside sport. The Kickoff.
Radio City Talk.
Well, let's have a look at Liverpool and Everton. Let's welcome Sandro from Skybet as well to the show. Morning, Sandro.
Good morning, Steve. How are you?
Very good. Which football club did you grace this weekend?
I didn't grace any football clubs. I graced the race course this weekend, Steve. We were down at Cheltenham for the November meeting, and a lot of fun was had indeed. Very wet, very muggy on the Saturday. I'm not talking about my friends and their betting habits. I'm talking about the weather, of course. But no, it was a good weekend, a lot of fun, and it sort of really signalled the start of the national hunt season.
Great, yeah, and you came out with a bulging wad in your pocket, did you?
Yeah, I suppose I described it. I'm emotionally richer for the experience, shall we say.
Right, let's have a look at Liverpool and Everton and what they're all saying this morning. We'll start with the Reds. Klopp expects further unbelievable feats from supercharged Salah is one of the headlines. Should Mohamed Salah continue his current rate of scoring for Liverpool, his total by the end of the season could be more than 40 goals. And if he scored all the chances he had as well, MJ, he'd have 80 goals as well.
He's performed very well, isn't he? And I think when Liverpool got him at the start of the window, it was a signing that seemed to tick every single box in terms of somebody who would bring that stylistic threat that Liverpool needed in terms of pace when Mane wasn't there, and somebody who's going to be productive in the final third as well in terms of goals. But I don't really think anybody would have anticipated them to do so well so quickly. And I think the two goals you've seen him score at the weekend, I think the first one in particular is not really one you'd see him score very often in Serie A last season. It was the type, you know, often it was just Roma playing on the counter-attack. He was played through and he'd finish well. I think that goal is just goes to show the confidence he's got at the moment in terms of his striking ability and seeing the goal and just having a go. And then, you know, the second one's just a lovely little finish, isn't it, as well. But now he's doing fantastically well. And I think he's one of those players that's making a bit of a mockery of this idea that coming back to the Premier League and you know, if you struggle, it's such a hard league to adapt to. I think we've seen a few of those players this season who've come in and done that. So, yeah, it's been a fantastic sign for Liverpool. But, you know, as well as he's doing, I think 40 goals is probably a bit of a high target to set for
him. Come on, Sandro, what is he in terms of the top scorer race in the Premier League? Have you got that?
Yeah, look, he's still a price, Steve. And a price, I think, that will probably appeal to quite a few people. We can't really make it a 16-1 chance. The bottom line is he's a midfielder, an exceptional midfielder at that. But he is a midfielder after all, and he's competing with the likes of Romelu Lukaku, Harry Kane, Sergio Aguero, Gabriel Jesus, you know, Morata, the list goes on. But it's an incredible start for a midfielder, and it is to be respected. And of course, he wasn't 16-1 at the start of the season, but he is still a big prize. I think it might appeal to a few people, but it would take something pretty incredible for an attacking midfielder to be the top scorer in the Premier League at the end of the season. But we shall see. We shall see. And I'll tell you what, he's very easy on the eye, isn't he?
He's great to watch.
He scored this weekend. We're incredible. Absolutely incredible.
Well, what's the top scorer on so far?
I think Salah is the top scorer, isn't he?
Is he?
Yeah, Salah's in 9 goals, isn't he?
Don't write the attacking midfielder off.
it's interesting Sandro said that, because I think he's been playing very much as a forward this season.
Yeah, he is on the right-hand side. Yeah. They play three forwards, essentially, who can go wherever they want, Liverpool. Yeah, I mean, look, there's six of them, isn't there? You could say, are they midfielders? Are they forwards? Yeah. They're literally just players that run forward and have a go at goal, but he could have so many more goals as well. He keeps ending up in these positions. I think it was the first 10 minutes against Southampton. He probably could have scored two, and you sort of think, oh. Suarez was a bit like that in his first season.
Yeah, but, you know, like you said there, it's 40 goals. That would be a
lot
bad,
is it? Decent performance by Liverpool, 3-0 against Southampton. Some really good 40. Coutinho was excellent. He seems to have just knuckled down and got on with it, Sandro Coutinho. He's obviously thinking to himself, right, maybe see what happens in January or May, but I've got to give my best shot here.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's refreshing to see, isn't it? We regularly speak about these players that sort of they down tools or don't get the moves that they dream of, and it affects their performance on the pitch. That certainly isn't the example with Coutinho, is it? And I think it looks better and better. Great through ball for Salah, for Salah's second goal. And he seems to realise that if I do want to get that move, I'm going to have to get my head down and I'm going to have to work hard, and he seems to be doing it very, very well. And it was a good performance from Liverpool at the weekend. I think the most encouraging thing, certainly from my perspective, is their defensive performance. And it's a clean sheet And I think that the problem with Liverpool has never been their ability to score goals. It's been at the other end. Really, really encouraging performance for them. They look refreshed for the international break. And looks like there's plenty more to come for them.
Mm. I think with Liverpool's defence, I think at home in particular now, there's such a huge fear about that front four of Mane, Salah, Coutinho and Firmino, that teams are just so reluctant to put any real kind of pressure on the defence. And I think we've seen that with Southampton at the weekend. We were talking before, Steve, about a team that just didn't want to show any kind of attacking endeavour whatsoever. And that kind of helps the defence out a little bit. But so just by having all these fantastic attacking players, it's kind of helping Liverpool out defensively as well. And on Coutinho, I think you only need to look at Southampton side at the weekend for a player who didn't get his move in the summer and has been pretty poor by all accounts this season in Virgil van Dijk. I think he could have done a bit better with a couple of goals at the weekend. Hasn't performed to his usual high standards, and he seems to have got a bit of a sulk on a little bit. So, like you said, credit to Coutinho for just shaking off the speculation a little bit and getting on with it.
And well done to Dejan Lovren, who was excellent at the weekend. And also congratulations to Alberto Moreno on the birth of Alberto Moreno Jr., which is a lovely name, isn't it? Let's move on to Everton. Silva refuses to end speculation about Everton move. So he's been asked again and again and again. Look, he clearly wants to go to Everton Football Club, doesn't he?
Yeah, definitely. And I think the reporter on Sky yesterday gave him a lot of chances to commit his future to Watford and say, no, I don't want this Everton job. I want to stay here. Let's end all this talk now. But, you know, he didn't do that. But I think it's a case of, it's interesting because I think he's resigned from two jobs before in his career. I think one was at Olympiacos, and I can't think where the second one was. But it's going to be interesting to see what goes on with this now, because I think the two out of the three parties involved in this wanted to go ahead, but Watford definitely don't want it to happen. And you can see exactly why. Watching them yesterday, while there were a few hairy moments defensively, played some fantastic attacking football, controlled the game for long spells, obviously made some fantastic signings. Richarlison in particular looks like a really good player. So you can see why they want to keep hold of him and keep him in, you know, overseeing that project. But I imagine at this point in the season, Everton aren't going to relent. They're just going to keep asking the question, and hope either Silva comes and agitates for the move or Watford just give in.
How stubborn will Watford be in all this, do you think, Sandro?
Oh, they clearly appear to be very stubborn in all of this. And that's understandably so, but likewise, if somebody wants to leave, and it's clear Marco Silva does want to leave, and sometimes you just need to sort of, you know, realise that. And I suppose that they're hanging out for as much compensation as they can get, but you do feel...
Which is how much?
I don't know exactly what he's on.
20 million? Is it worth 20 million?
I think the reports last week were saying 8.5 initially. I think that was increased to around 12.
And that was laughed off, wasn't it?
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting, is it? Because you pay, I think it was, I can't remember which pundit was saying it over the weekend, but it was a great point in terms of you pay so much money for players, but managers seem to go places on
we
the
We said
cheap,
this last week, 10 million for Tom Cleverley,
yeah,
wasn't it?
Yeah, exactly, yeah. But I mean, I struggle to remember an instance where, you know, I'll put, you know, in a quote here, a bigger club in terms of Everton, obviously not doing particularly well at the moment, but a much bigger club than Watford, go after a manager from a smaller club and they don't tend to get the man. I think in the end, they always tend to end up moving football clubs. And I think if it was going to go one way or the other at the moment, I'd probably be surprised if he didn't end up being in the Everton dugout at some point before the end of the year.
Sandra, how much should they pay for him?
Well, I don't know, but he said Tom Cleverley was 10 million. I think Marco Silva can probably take a bit of penalty in Tom Cleverley. Yeah. So, based on that, I'd have it at about 10 million. I don't know, it's a funny one, isn't it? Because it's not the sort of thing we've seen with managers that you go for these. I mean, that's a lot of money to pay in compensation for a manager. But actually, why wouldn't you pay big money? Because arguably, he's far more important than any player that you'll ever sign. So based on that, you know, maybe 10 million is the right figure to pay. What I find really strange, and I just cannot get my head around, Steve, is the fact that it's taken the Everton board this long to realise that Marco Silva's their man. You know, we've had an international break that I think the Everton board seemed to think it was about 4 weeks long, and they still don't have the man they want. And I just find this really, really bizarre. And if I was Marco Silva, it would certainly start to raise questions in my head about how well that club's run currently. Just go out and get your man.
Sandra, if you were an Everton supporter, you would not be surprised by the amount of dallying they're doing, trust me.
The alarm bells are ringing for Marco Silva. Right, on to the action on the pitch for Everton against Crystal Palace. And you've got a smile at this front page on the Mirror Football today. Nias says he won't get in trouble because the contact was in the box and that's all I have to do, go on the floor. And their headline is, Everton won't go down, but I will. And this big picture of Umarnias. What's your perception of Umarnias? And
he's a hard man not to love, isn't he? You know, all the stuff he's been through in terms of how badly he was treated by the former manager. He's basically written off by a lot of supporters who were saying he's the worst player in Everton's history and stuff like that. But fair play to the lad. You know, there could have easily been a situation in the summer where he just threw in the towel and said, I've had enough of this, I'm going elsewhere, I'm going to start elsewhere. I don't know this football club anything. But he's got his head down, he's worked hard, he's waited for his chance. And in the first half at Selhurst Park the weekend, he was excellent. Obviously won the penalty, had a couple of good chances.
So was it a penalty?
No, it was not a penalty. But I mean, it's one of them where you say that
it was a dive.
The striker definitely won it. Yeah. Oh yeah,
it was a dive.
Oh yeah.
Roy Hodgson called it a dive.
Oh, it was a dive. Yeah, absolutely. But I don't care about that. I mean, but he took his goal pretty well, and he got booked towards the end of the first half, and it kind of took something away from his game. And after the breaks, he had to be a little bit more careful in the tackles he went into, because he's quite a clumsy player, but. You look at him now in terms of what he's done for Everton season, and you go back to that game against Bournemouth where he came off the bench and scored a couple of goals, won Everton that game almost single-handedly. The game against Watford a fortnight ago where Everton was 2-0 down and his sheer persistence gets them back in the game and eventually gets them the win. And you've got this game at the weekend where they go behind after 39 seconds, he wins a penalty pretty quickly and then scores an equaliser as well, so... He was nearly a Crystal Palace player by the end of the transfer window, and while a lot of Everton supporters will lament not getting a striker in on that final day of the window, looking at the way things are going, it's a good job they didn't let him go.
And very quickly, Sandro, Everton set a record this weekend, the most fouls in a single Premier League game this season.
Interesting one, that, isn't it? Surely they're doing something right. They're all learning from
Omar Nias
and diving.
I see people reading different things. It's not over the weekend.
Good effort.
Some people saying great effort. Yeah, at least they're fighting for the manager. And then you've got others saying, no discipline there whatsoever. So read into what you want.
Great. So, Sandro, what are you up to this week? Anything?
Yeah, I'm at Headingley today with Steve Harmison. They're recording some stuff ahead of the Ashes, which will be a lot of fun. And then I'm down in Peterborough tomorrow with Barry Fry, a bit of a legend in the Football League, and no doubt he'll have a few stories to talk to us about. So, yeah, nice, interesting week ahead, Steve.
Top Mind, catch up next week.
Take care, guys.
Your guide to Merseyside sport. The Kickoff.
Radio City Talk.